यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन रंजन जमुना तीरावन चारी जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवर्गाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद् भक्तिवांग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद् भागवतम की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग नमो श्री पदाय कृष्ण प्रसाद ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So this morning we're reading from Canto 12, chapter 2, verses 39 to 41. So we will chant verse number 41 together. So that's just 41. Krimi vidbhasma samgyante 41, yeah. That's the one that has the purport. Krimi vidbhasma samgyante. No, I'm going to do 41 together, responsibly. Yeah. Unless you want me to do any other way, that's totally fine. Whatever I want, okay. Should I chant again? Krimi vidbhasma samgyante Rajanam no piyasya cha Bhuta dhruktat krite swartham Kim veda nirayo yataha Krimi vidbhasma samgyante Rajanam no piyasya cha भूताधृक्तकृते स्वार्थम् किं वेदा निरयो यतः. Please chant. भूताधृक्तकृते स्वार्थम् किं वेदा निरयो यतः. One more lady. Go ahead. Oh. Kimi vidbhasma sangyante. Rajanamnopiyasyacha. Bhutadruktakrithe svatam. Thank you. Word to word. Creamy.
Creamy.
Of worms. Vit.
Vit.
Stool.
Stool.
Bhasma.
Bhasma.
And ashes.
Ash.
Samgya.
Samgya.
The designation.
The designation.
Ante.
Ante.
In the end.
In the end.
Raja Namna.
Raja Namna.
Going by the name King.
Going by the name King.
Api. Even though,
even though,
yasya,
yasya,
of which, body,
body,
cha,
cha,
and
bhuta,
of living beings,
beings,
dhruk,
an enemy,
tatkrite,
for the sake of that body,
swartham,
his own interest,
kim,
what,
veda,
does he know,
Niraya,
punishment in hell,
yataha,
because of which.
I'll just read the first other two verses in English, and then 41. The cycle of four ages, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali, continues perpetually among living beings on this earth, repeating the same general sequence of events. My dear King Parikshit, all these kings I have described, as well as all other human beings, come to this earth and stake their claims, but ultimately they all must give up this world and meet their destruction. Today's verse. Even though a person's body may now have the designation king, in the end its name will be worms, stool, or ashes. What can a person who injures other living beings for the sake of his body know about his own self-interest, since his activities are simply leading him to hell? Purport by the disciples Srila Prabhupada. After death, the body may be buried and eaten by worms, or it may be thrown in the street or forest to be eaten by animals, who will pass out its remnants as stool. Or it may be burned and converted into ashes. Therefore, one should not pave his way to hell by using his temporary body to injure the bodies of other living beings. In this verse,
The word bhuta includes non-human life forms who are also creatures of God. One should give up all envious violence and learn to see God in everything by the process of Krishna consciousness. Namo Om Shri Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddha Vishnu Jaya Swami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Vana Pachara Namaste Vishesha Shana Vada Prasthaya Padaya Shaka Vancha Kapa Turu Vashya Krita Sindhi Bheva Chapa Kita Nam Pada Nidhi Vashya 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 Vashya. So, Srimad Bhagavatam gives it to us as it is. Yeah? What a verse. I mean, but Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't hide itself by saying it's going to say something, going to give something and give something else. You know, from the very start of the Srimad Bhagavatam, describes that how dharma projito kaitavo, it has nothing to do with religions that are cheating religions. In other words, nothing to do with fruitive activity, it gives it straight what is the best thing for us human beings. So the Bhagavatam, from the very start, second verse, it says that. And that's why we can find such verses here as far as saying that what will happen. The king, the name king, will be just worm, stool, or ashes. Now, if you really think about it, Sukadeva Goswami, who is he talking to? He's talking to a who? A king. He's talking to a king. And then he's saying that when your body dies, it will be called worm, stool, or ashes. Creamy. The word even creamy sounds so creepy or whatever. Creepy crawly, creamy. He's saying that when the body dies, then that's what it will become. So he's talking to a king, and what's going to happen to this king? That's right. It's the 12th canto, so that means it must be probably the seventh day, I'm assuming. It must be his last day, I'm assuming. Is that the right speculation, Madan Mohan Prabhu? That it must be the... Yeah, well, that's true, but it is... Either it's the day after that day or the day after. So he's going to leave his body shortly. Although he's saying that he has listed a whole name of, you know, from the previous chapter, all these names of all these kings, and he's talking about them. But we know Maharaj Parikshit, because he's a devotee, and we see that over and over and over again. You know, last few months we were reading about Uddhava, and when he's representing himself, he thinks himself as a fruitive worker, and that's the sign of a devotee. He doesn't see that he's a devotee. So here's he's not talking, Sukadeva Goswami is not talking to about Maharaj Parikshit, and yet he is, because he is the king and he is going to pass away. So he is telling him the reality, although he's not part of one of those kings, but this is going to happen. Why is Sukadeva Goswami saying that to Parikshit Maharaj? What is his motivation? Why does somebody like Sukadeva Goswami would tell somebody like that to Maharaj Parikshit? We see in the Bhagavatam, the start of the Bhagavatam, we see the sages of Naimisharanya, they're doing a big sacrifice for 1,000 years. Who were they doing that sacrifice for? For the people in general. For the devotees and people in general, they were doing this 1,000-year sacrifice. It was not for themselves. We see that same things. When Maharaj Parikshit actually was leaving his body, he was thinking, what should I do? At that time, as he was decided that he was going to fast to death, then Shukadev Goswami appeared there. And Shukadev Goswami, although he described that he was self-satisfied, but to help to guide Maharaj Parikshit, he was given the seat of honor so that he could tell Maharaj Parikshit what he should do at the time of death. So again, it's Sukadev Goswami's desire to help others that he spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is what we're seeing here, that the point here is being made is, what can a person who injures other living beings for the sake of his body know about his own self-interest, since his activities are simply leading him to hell? This is referring to kings. Kings, what the kings do, they would go and attack other kingdoms, yeah? I remember I attended a Sanskrit seminar one time, and our teacher, Vasuvaj Mahadeya, he gave a story. And the story was, there was some yogi sitting in the forest, and some person, wealthy merchant, gave a lot of gold to him, a lot of wealth. And he said, could you give this, distribute it to the poor? So the yogi said, okay, he was sitting in the forest, so he left it there, and he was like, okay, let me just go back to my meditation. And then afterwards, then he said, okay, God, this is sitting here, I need to do something. So then he goes to the nearby village, and he calls out, who is poor? Whoever is poor, I will give this wealth for them. So all the villagers started coming. You know, we would all go, probably, you know, I need some money to pay this or pay that. So all the villagers came. And they kind of told their story. This is my story, and I'm poor. So the yogi said, no. The next one, no, you're not poor. No. So he was disappointed to see that nobody was poor. So he took back his gold, and he went back to the forest. He started again with his meditation. And then one day he saw a king came with his entourage. The king was sitting on this big elephant with all the elephant was decorated with gold. He was himself decorated with nice armor and gold armor and everything. And then he had lots of horses and, you know, all the whole army of soldiers with all decorated very nicely. And when he looked at them, he said, oh, this guy is poor. So he went up to him and said to the king, I was thinking of giving this to somebody poor, this wealth that I have. So I realized that you are a poor person. And the king was like, how dare you call me poor? Do you see I'm poor? And he says, yes, you're poor because you have so much, and yet you go and attack the other king for getting more wealth. He says, so you are actually poor. So this is what he's saying here. When Sukadev Goswami is talking about, he's talking about the kings, because he just named all the kings. And that's why he's saying here, what can a person who injures other living beings for the sake of his body know about his own self-interest? So to me, that's what he's talking, because he's just talking about all the kings, that the kings are greedy. Now, I was thinking that how Yudhishthira Maharaj certainly knew about this philosophy about king, if they fight for their own self-interest, they will lead them to hell. So I don't know if you remember how Yudhishthira Maharaj actually kind of went into a depression when they won the war. And what was his anxiety? Does anybody remember what was his anxiety, Yudhishthira Maharaj's anxiety? Yes, Raghavan?
He thought he was the cause of all the deaths.
Yes, because he felt that it was because of me, because I was put on the throne, that all these living entities died. All these my friends, I mean, these women are left without husband because of me. I'm the cause. But we do know that he wasn't the cause, but he felt he was the cause. I mean, that's really a person who is so soft-hearted. And I mean, the war was done because Krishna wanted, yeah? Krishna desired. But even though Krishna desired, he still felt that it was because of him. Because he's aware that you're not meant to injure other living entities. And because he was so humble, he felt like that was because of him, he will go to hell. He even says, like, I can do so many sacrifices and still I will not be relieved from going to hell. So what this is being stated here is for for those kings or those human beings or who are actually using their time to exploit others. And that is not their self-interest. It's just like, for example, I was thinking, to understand this point more clearly, I was thinking about how if a person who is stealing from others, if a person is stealing from others, and then he thinks, okay, this is for me, I need this. But he's not thinking about his own self-interest because why? He is going to be caught and put in jail. So he's not thinking that he's going to be put in jail. He's just thinking, oh, I need this money, and so I'm going to steal it. So this is just ignorance, pure ignorance on his part. So therefore, here we see that the quality of selfishness is pointed out. That if you're selfish, if you do things that for yourself, then you don't know what your self-interest is, actually. The one story that came to my mind was about Dadichi Muni. Dadichi Muni was, in the pastime of the demigods and the demons, when the demons were getting stronger, Lord Vishnu asked the demigods that you need to go to Dadichi Muni to get his body, to make a weapon with his bones, and in that way you can kill Vritasura, in that way you can get your heavenly planet back. So the demigods go and ask Dadichi Muni for his body. Now, Dadichi Muni's response, and initially he was joking, but his response was basically, are you crazy? You're coming and asking me for my body, for you? He says, do you realize how painful it is to leave your body? That it actually, when the pain is so much when you're leaving your body, that the consciousness goes away. So he said, you're asking me to give your body for your sake? And then the demigod says, well, because we know you, who you are, because you are a person who would be willing to give yourself for others, or who do give yourself to others, we have come and asked you. And then they say one important thing. They say, if a beggar knew, if the beggar knew the difficulty of the person who is giving in charity, if the beggar knew the difficulty for the person who is giving charity, how difficult it is, he would not beg. And on the other hand, he said, if the person who is qualified to give the charity, if he knew the need of the beggar, he would not refuse. So you see how he kind of said that, in other words, if you knew our situation, you wouldn't refuse because you are a person who can give charity or is willing to give charity. So you really knew our situation, you would not refuse to give charity. And so Dadichi Muni was impressed, and he said, actually, I just wanted to hear this religious principle for you, and that's why I refused initially. And then he says that, actually, I would like to read, because it was such a nice way that he describes about, after he says that I will give in charity, he says, if I can find it. He says, O demigods, one who has no compassion for humanity in its suffering and does not sacrifice his impermanent body for higher causes of religious principles or eternal glory is certainly pitied even by the immovable beings. The body which is eatable by jackals and dogs after death. So he doesn't say he doesn't say creamy and what else was it say? Worm, stool, and ashes. Okay. He's talking about just stool, I guess, here. The body which is eatable by jackals and hogs after death does not actually do any good for me. So he's ready to give his body. So he's preaching to himself, maybe, and maybe telling the others, the demigods, that the body which is eatable by jackals and dogs after death does not actually do any good for me, the spirit soul. It is usable only for a short time and may perish at any moment. The body and its possessions, its riches and relatives, must all be engaged for the benefit of others, or else they will be sources of tribulation and misery. So the point he's making, if you don't use your body for others, if you don't use your body for others, then it's going to be cause for anxiety for yourself. Not just use your body, but use the body of those, your dependents, your relatives, your possessions. Everything has to be used for the sake of others. And he said, he's not just preaching that, he set that example because right away he went into trance and gave up his body. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I cannot give a class without Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajans. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says in the bhajan, Kabhi Habe Bolo Se Dina Mar. Kabhe habe bolo se dina mar. Kabhe habe bolo. Please tell me when that day will be mine. And so he initially writes in this bhajan, when will I basically become purified and when will I get the taste of the holy name? But in the very last stanza, he says, Kabhe jive doya hoibe udoya. Nija sukha bhuli sudina hidoya bhakati binoda koriya binoya shiya gyata hala koribe prachar kabe habe bolo se dina amar. He says, kabe jive doya hoibe udoya. When will that desire for jiva doya, for the compassion for the living entity, when will it arise within my heart? Then he says, nija sukha bhuli, when will I, nija sukha, my own happiness, when will I forget? Nija sukha bhuli, sudina hirdoya. That's a very important part where he says, sudina hirdoya. Dina means very compassionate. Sudina means extremely compassionate. When will my heart be so extremely compassionate that I will have my heart, that desire to help other living entity be there? And then he says, Bhaktivinoda Koriya Bino, he's begging Krishna that, oh Krishna, when will that desire be there where I could go and give this holy name or give this Krishna Shiksha to others? When will that day be mine? Now he's talking about Sudina Hirdoya. His heart is full of compassion. It is not that we give Krishna to others, and giving Krishna to others just doesn't mean that we go out and give to others. Like yesterday we went, we had such a good time. Is that right, Ragatmika? There were maybe 15 of us. We went to Santa Fe, and it was just very sweet. Give out prasadam, ask people to chant Gauranga's name. I would ask them, so do you know who Gauranga is? They said, no. I said, well, it is his birthday. And they would say, yeah? as if like they knew who Gauranga was. They say, yeah? I said, yeah, it's his birthday. I said, so on his birthday, we are celebrating, we are doing this kirtan, and we're asking everybody to chant Gauranga. And I said, when you chant Gauranga, it will bring a smile on your face. And they would say, Gauranga. And they would smile, and I said, yeah, so remember Gauranga. So yeah, so that's one way of giving Gauranga to others. But that is also for with all of us, to help each other to remember. But it has to be done with sudhina hridaya, not with a thing of like, I know it all. No, with a real compassion, with a real compassion in our heart that we approach others and help them in their path to Krishna, or actually when others are helping us, to appreciate that somebody is helping us and take that to their path. Again, out on Sankirtan, on Harinam yesterday, there was one second generation devotee who was just passing by, and one devotee asked him to sit in the Harinam. He says, it's Gaur Purnim, so, you know, take a little extra, you know. And so I thought that was really nice. So actually the devotee sat down, and then I happened to ask him, oh, would you like to lead kirtan? And he says, no, I feel shy doing that. And I said, well, you know, you can do it after a couple of times, come here on Thursdays. And then he said, yeah, I could see myself doing that, yeah. So here's a devotee who loves the holy name, I'm assuming, and he chants and he sat down, and then he was ready to maybe think later on to actually chant in front of others in the public. So yes, so it is sudhina hirdoya, bhakate vinoda, koriya vinoya. He's really begging Krishna to please somehow or other allow me to engage in other service. So this is what Sukadev Goswami is saying here, that one who is actually interested in one who is just thinking about his own body, his own self, material self-interest, he cannot really, that's not really his self-interest when he's thinking about exploiting others. But we just don't want to just not exploit others. We don't want to, okay, that's the negative part, that we don't want to exploit others. But that we want to do the positive part, that to actually help others. That's the most important thing. As Vaishnavas, Srila Prabhupada has given us a big task. And the fact is that each one of us have some ability, and we all can be engaged in somehow or other to do what is called paro upakar. Paro upakar means doing some good for others. When we're absorbed in doing good for others, no matter what it is, then that is what our real self-interest is. And so all of us maybe are doing something. And if we are doing something, then we can increase and increase. I mean, Divyanga Prabhu, I don't know, all he does is welfare for others by going out, but he can increase. Is that right, Divyanga Prabhu? You can increase. Mother Mukhya, yesterday she was announcing, I'm just doing a little housekeeping here, but wow. Can I tell Mother Mukhya to increase? I don't know, maybe I should say to her for her to decrease so that we can have her all the time to do it. But everybody is doing something. We at least try to continue whatever services we are doing, like Madhurilina Nanda Mataji. I see that she's retired. She could just think, oh, I can just retire and not do anything. But no, she is taking care of the yard so nicely. So each one of us can do something for others, for Srila Prabhupada's movement, somehow they'll increase our service, increase our heart compassionate for others. In this way, you know, we can make Srila Prabhupada pleased with us. I was thinking, one last thing, I was thinking, sometimes I think in my mind, you know, like, wow, you know, I joined this movement, I ran away from home, definitely not to live a comfortable life in a Alachua in my own house with 5-acre land and, you know, just have a relaxed life, you know. No, I really didn't join for that. And, you know, am I doing, maybe this is where I'm at this stage, you know. I mean, I remember my mother telling me when I wanted to join, I was trying to get her to allow me to join, and she said, "No, just finish your studies, and you can practice this religion at home." And you know, that's what people do generally, yeah. I mean, in India, yeah. So he says, "You get married and you practice your religion at home. Why go and join the Hare Krishnas? Why go and live in the temple?" So basically, in one sense, yeah, she was saying, right, but that's not what I wanted to do. I just wanted to become a religious Mataji. Yeah. And that was not my goal. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to join the movement and be part of the preaching movement. And so, but sometimes I think maybe I have become one of those Matajis who just kind of stay and do my little thing and do my little cooking and do my this or whatever, you know. But we have to encourage each other that no, we don't, that's not our goal of life. Our goal of life is to be like Dadichi Muni, to actually give our life. In talking about Dadichi Muni, I remember he said that when he said, "You're coming and ask me to give my body," you know, even if Lord Vishnu asked, people wouldn't want to give. So, yes, Prabhupada has actually asked us to give our body for him. He has asked. He kind of tricked us. He said, "All you do is chant, dance, and be happy. And take prasadam," yeah? But he really wanted our life. He wanted our life. Like Vamandev, you know, Vamandev tricked Bali Maharaj. Just 3 steps, that's all. But he wanted Bali Maharaj. He wanted his life, yeah? So Srila Prabhupada wants our life, and therefore we have to try to dedicate as much as possible, increase as much as possible our surrender to Srila Prabhupada, to give our body, so that even when we do become, even if our name is Krimi Vid Bhashma, worm, stool, or ashes, that's what our name will become, worm, stool, or ashes, then we still won't mind, because at least our body now, at this stage, we have given to Srila Prabhupada and to the movement. If anybody have any questions, yes, Madan Mohan Prabhu.
Thank you so much for such a wonderful class. I was
thank you.
When you were discussing, when you were at Santa Fe and you were having him chant and the happiness he was feeling and you were feeling, it reminded me of a word that most of us think about it 30 times a day we're supposed to meditate on, is Krishna Anandaya, how the spiritual master, he's feeling that. And we're supposed to meditate. So I was noticing you're describing that mentality that word is meant to invoke in us when we say that. And it's an enthusing to, when you meditate on that, just like your class had us meditating on that. So I thank you so much for that. And then we're mentioning about stool here that, of course, when you come to the spiritual master, you give him your karma, which is another name for your body. You know, your body is your karma. So he's freeing you from that body just like that by using it in Krishna's service. And that verse where it says bhakti digests your subtle body. Mm-hmm. And we've gone over that before, that it gets separated in digestion into nourishment and waste. Mm-hmm. And the waste is another name for that waste is stool. Mm-hmm. So by the surrendering process, the subtle body is being defecated. So that also fits right in there, because this bhakti process is actually turning this as being rejected into waste material. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other? Yes, Govinda Prabhu. Govinda Prabhu.
I like the example that you mentioned with the Bichi Muni. So in that regard, sometimes we feel, okay, I cannot be so renounced like the Bichi Muni. And most of us in our early days, we were very enthusiastic in preaching and, you know, that pioneering, you know, revolutionary mood. But then over the years, like you mentioned, sometimes we tend to settle in our household comforts and not be so involved necessarily on the front line of our movement. So there is a tendency to get a little bit, how would I say, discouraged in a sense, because I cannot be on such high level of renunciation, giving up my body and time, you know, 100% like the Bichi Muni. There is the tendency to feel a little bit discouraged and kind of like sit back. So how would you find that balance, you know, between the two extremes?
Personally, I find when I see other devotees, how they're leading their lives, and we see different devotees are on, maybe they are on different levels, or also maybe they're doing it in different ways. And so we think, okay, this person, this devotee is managing their household life, and they're trying to do a little, somehow they're either it's frontline preaching, or as I said, doing things, Prabhupada said, one who is the soldier who is in the front and one who is maintaining the temple, it's the same. So I think the most important thing is that I find that we see other devotees and feel encouraged rather than discouraged, and see our, I think important is to see where we are at and then take a little step further, so that eventually we can come to a stage where we may want to be. And again, by seeing other devotees, how they are practicing their Krishna consciousness and how somehow that they fit a little bit. Oh, okay, they're able to do a little this service, they're able to do that little service. And so, oh, maybe I can do a little bit this service, maybe I can add. I think it's important, I was talking one time, a couple months ago, to one devotee, and very nice householder, you know, chanting their rounds and doing everything like that. And so I was encouraging them that I said that it's important to take care of your household life because, you know, your family are devotees. But it's important to add even a little bit directly in for the movement, some little service directly. Again, maybe it may mean making garlands, or, you know, or maybe it may mean sweeping outside, or join some community development thing that they have and do something. So some little service we can just add. But it's important that we do some little seva, and then you feel good. Oh, I'm able to do this service. And then you feel enlivened, then you do a little more. And in that way, not feeling discouraged. I think it's important in the association devotees, we see how everybody is managing. And you say, okay, well, I'm doing good, but I can do a little bit more. Does that kind of help a little bit? Okay. Yes, Dharmaraj Prabhu.
Now you are saying that you run away from home, but the way I see it, that you run home.
Yeah.
So
yes.
So then, you know, you were talking, and this is going to tie into Prabhu's question too, about your grihastha life, and sometimes you feel like you're complacent, basically. This can be like a wide grounds for discussion, depends on how you see things, from what angle, because duties has to be performed. But in other words, it's like one living in the home, but seeing Krishna as the center and not themselves as the center, so then that makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And in some situations, some devotees might have to do so much more to maintain their household or life, and not being able to do so much more on the outside, even though we don't know what's in the heart.
Mm.
The heart may be very eager, like the story of that of the postman. You know, he was working in the post office, he was doing his duties, but he was always meditating on the Lord. And on the other hand, this Brahmana was taking care of the deity, and he was always meditating on how he can do some service like that. But eventually, the deity was offered to him. I don't remember exactly where the pastime is. But anyway, you know, the point I'm making is that it's an individual thing, and the eagerness has to be there, that despite what your situation is, how you can foster.
Mm.
And like, just in summary, it says that the devotee has three obligations once they got initiated into this movement. And by that, I don't mean physical initiation, but once they get contact, then immediately three obligations develop. One is to take care of their own spiritual life. No one can do that for them. Second is to help with the others around them, like immediate family or students or whatever. And third, to do something for Lord Chaitanya.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this was a statement by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I'm not sure. But anyway, these things are there, so depends on how we see it, you know, and what our eagerness is. Like, some devotees may be able to do much more than others. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're less sincere than others. I just want to, like, you know, bring the flip side of what you said.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that point. Yes, I think, I mean, if you even see Prabhupada's life, he was feeling that all his godbrothers were, you know, his godbrothers were living in the mud, and they were with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, and they were doing so much, and he was feeling, oh, I'm a householder and I can't do much, you know, I'm not doing anything for my spiritual master. But his desire was always there, and then we know that as time went by, he was doing more. And I think I was giving class at Krishna House. I was brought that point that how one may see, one may think that, oh, it's the business went down and then Prabhupada increased his preaching. But no, his desire was to preach became like more determined that I need to do this, I want to do this. And then somehow the business started going down, and, you know, and then eventually, you know, he gave himself in all sense for Srila Bhakti Siddhanta to follow his order. So yeah, it's definitely very, it's different for different people, but yes, we can see others how they're doing, and then we can feel inspired, and maybe we're not physically able to do it, but just we can meditate that, oh, I like to do this, I would like to. So that's also service. That's also service. Oh, I remember how I used to go out and did that, you know, and I have the taste, and one day it will happen, and maybe I can do this little something towards that, you know, and it happens. Any ladies have any questions or comments? Kalindi? No? Radhaful? No? Everybody's quiet here? Yeah? Okay, thank you very much, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Jai.